When you hear the word pilgrim, what comes to mind? I guess we might think of the separatists who came over on the Mayflower in 1620, landed at Plymouth Rock, or we might think of John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. Some might think of a John Wayne movie, where he used the term pilgrim many times, the man who shot Liberty Valance. I'm not sure if I ever saw that or not. I remember the song, though. I think I must have heard it 100 times. Pilgrim is defined as a traveler who's come from afar quite often on his way or her way to a holy place. In Scripture and in Christian experience, a pilgrim is linked with the term stranger. We're like strangers and pilgrims in this world, and we are in a place of exile, a place where we are aliens. And then another way of looking at pilgrimage for Christians is to think in terms of an inner path to a state of blessedness or beatitude. We're really striving for a deeper devotional life, something on that order. But most of all, it's that being an alien in this world and being a pilgrim and stranger in a world that doesn't understand us and often hates us, in a world where we find many difficulties, but we find strength in the Lord, and we find that the Lord wants us to be a pilgrim. Let's look at some verses real quick. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. The word pilgrim or pilgrimage appears 5 times in Scripture, but we're also going to look at a couple of times where stranger appears, and then stranger will also appear in the same verse as pilgrim in another place. But in Genesis 15:13, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Here the Lord is speaking to Abraham about his seed, about his offspring, and how they'll be strangers. And then over to chapter 17, verse 8. God speaking again to Abram, or Abraham by this time. "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now over to Genesis 47. Genesis 47, 9. Here, Jacob is in conversation with Pharaoh after Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers and brought his family down to Egypt. And before Pharaoh, Jacob says this, verse 9, "Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. A couple of interesting observations about this, not necessarily tied in as closely with the message. Of course, Jacob is seeing himself as a pilgrim, and he now is in a different land, a land where he's an alien. And he speaks of his life being one in which there's been a lot of trouble. And certainly in our pilgrimage as Christians, we have many troubles, many trials, many testings. But when we're on the upside and when we're seeing things in God's perspective, we see that those things have worked for our benefit and for our growth and so forth. But Jacob's a little bit at this point kind of, life's been tough for me. And he's not seeing everything in the exact perspective he should. "Few and evil have been my days," he says. Now, the kind of ironic thing about this is that he says, you know, I've lived these 130 years and haven't lived as long as the ones before me, Abraham and Isaac. Now, what's funny about this is that he's going to live for quite a number of years longer. And so he's underestimating what God has for him at this time. Well, quickly, let's go over to Exodus chapter 6 and verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And then Psalm 119, verse 54. 119, well, actually I'm going to go back to 53 for context. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. And so here the psalmist speaks of his pilgrimage and how that the statutes, the laws, the word of God has been a means of his rejoicing, something to sing about, that have been a source of strength in the house of his pilgrimage. And this happened in the context of the place where Horah had taken a hold of him because of the wicked. And we're going to see as we look more at pilgrimage tonight that when we are on that journey, we are frequently attacked by the wicked. We're frequently attacked by those who have no regard for the truths of God. Well, over to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This was their confession. This was their testimony. These heroes of the faith, that we are strangers and pilgrims. We are aliens. We are not of this world, not of this earth. And finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Turn back with me to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 120. In Psalm 120, we enter into pilgrim psalms, songs of ascent. In the King James, they're referred to as songs of degrees. Psalm 120 is subtitled A Song of Degrees. It's better to say songs of ascent. These we're going to look at as pilgrim psalms. There are different ways of looking at them, different interpretations. Some people see them as referring, it's just a literary reference to a type of psalm, maybe something about ascending. There could be even ascension in your tone and voice and things like that, maybe a going up. Some see them as referencing 15 steps in the temple, and maybe there's 15 of these, and on step one you say 120, and you go up to the next step and 121, and so forth and so on. Some see them as referring to Israel coming back from the Babylonian captivity and on their pilgrimage from Babylon back to Israel, and these different psalms would be then referencing their journey and their experiences in that sense. Some see them as relating to the time of Hezekiah, and in fact think that some of them were written by Hezekiah at the time when Judah was besieged by the foreign power. But we're going to look at them, as many people do, as pilgrim psalms, as songs that were sang when the Jewish pilgrims went there three times a year to Jerusalem to worship. Or they were supposed to go three times a year. They didn't always go three times a year. Some didn't go. Some went once. Some all three. We've talked about that before. I know I have in sermons made reference to that. I guess it's kind of one of my favorite subjects. But anyway, we want to look at this then in those terms, that people are leaving from remote areas, from distance, from afar. They're headed to Jerusalem at Passover, Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And along the way, they are lamenting at times, maybe encouraging themselves. They're reviewing their life. They're reviewing their circumstances. They are focusing on God. They are looking forward to arriving at the place of worship, looking forward to what's going to take place there at the end of their pilgrimage. I want to read something out of Psalm 84 quickly. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 84. Well, actually, I've got it typed out here. In the New American Standard, verse 5 reads this way, "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highway to Zion." This highway to Zion could be, it has been translated, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. He's wrapped up in it. He's desirous of it. And he delights in being a pilgrim on a journey for God, on a journey to honor God, on a journey to grow in God, on a journey to a place of worship. I know I've spoken on Psalm 48 before, and there we have pilgrims coming in to Jerusalem, and they're focused on how great the city is. They're focused on Mount Zion, this place, and it's a place of the presence. And, you know, talked about how there was a great emphasis on place then. We have a greater emphasis on person, on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still emphasize place in some ways, and we certainly have an emphasis on place as far as the future's concerned. We're going to a place. Our Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and so on. But it is important for us to set our hearts upon pilgrimage. For us, pilgrimage can be what's happening to us throughout our lives on a daily basis. Every day is part of a pilgrimage. We can also think of pilgrimage as through the week, as preparation for the Lord's Day. And we're headed to a place to be with people for corporate worship, for corporate edification, for growing individually as we grow together. And then we can think of pilgrimage, as I've already referenced, as in its future to our being out of this place where we're aliens and being in heaven and being face to face with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. These songs of ascent were not all written at the same time. They weren't all written by the same person, but they're compiled together for us here all together. And I think we can see that as a work of the Holy Spirit as He oversaw, as He superintended not only the writing of Scripture, but the arrangement of it. Let's then begin looking at Psalm 120, and let's go through this marathon of trying to glean some things out of these 15 psalms. I've never spoken on 15 psalms in one night. 120 verse 1, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto Thee, or what shall be done unto Thee, Thou false tongue, sharp arrows of the mighty coals of the broom tree or the juniper? Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesek, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." So from the outset of the journey, the pilgrim sees danger, but also he's on this pilgrimage because he knows there's blessing as well. But there's enemies, and they make false accusations, and they have a false tongue, and they can be very bitter and they can be dangerous. And he says that he sojourns in Meshech and dwells in Kedar. Now, this is not literal, but what he's saying is, I have enemies far and wide. Kedar was a descendant of Ishmael. Meshech is a place up near the Black Sea where some of the sons of Japheth settled. But I got enemies from different backgrounds. I got enemies spread out, and they're dangerous, and I'd long for peace, but they are for war. But there is a solution. We jump to the next Psalm, 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. We probably get the wrong idea from the way it's translated here. And this is more of most likely. I look to the hills and they're intimidating. I look to the hills, I'm on my journey, I'm headed to Jerusalem to worship, and there's probably robbers in those hills. And they're difficult going up. And so there's difficulty. So where's my help going to come from? My help is in the Lord, the Creator and the Sustainer, the one who is constantly aware and constantly ready to protect His people and to intervene. Yes, He might let us suffer sometimes, but even in that, He gives us grace that is sufficient and uses those things for our growth. The Lord who made heaven and earth. The concept of God as Creator is so utterly important. And one reason we have the troubles we have in the world is that people reject that. So lots of people do. And it's so important to the Christian. And it is repeated from Genesis through Revelation over and over. It amazes me how many times in the book of Psalms it's referenced. Recently I've read through Isaiah different times, and so many references there. And to God, He's a Creator, and He overcame chaos. Of course, He made the earth as it was, and then He brought the land up out of the sea. But ancient men were very intimidated by the sea, and they had myths about how creation was made out of the sea by their gods. But over and over, we are told how God rules over the seas, over the waters, over the floods, you know, over the hurricanes, over the great storms. He is in control of everything. He is a maker of heaven and earth. He is the Creator. And if He made it, He can sustain it. He has the power. What power is there in creation? And then what power then is there available to help me in my sojourn and to help you in your sojourn? He will not slumber. He's always awake and aware. He's always there to sustain. He keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The elements cannot do you in. Certainly for these people on sojourn, and two of these, of the three seasons that they came, the festivals were during, you know, dry times, and it was certainly hot, and you could be beaten down by the sun. But this pilgrim says, I can stand the difficulties of the journey. The sun's not going to smite me. And what can go, the things that can go wrong at night, the dangers of night, I'm not worried about that. And there could even be a promise here of mental health, because if the moon cannot smite you, to be moon smitten is to be crazy. So you are a lunatic, Okay? And so this could be taken, possibly, I won't be dogmatic about it, as a promise of mental health. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. As you're going and coming on the pilgrimage, you can trust the Lord. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now he's getting pumped up. I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. The pilgrims encourage each other. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to be there at the place of the presence. We're going to be there at Mount Zion, the one place above other places that God has chosen on earth. Now we know in our time, God has chosen by the power of His Holy Spirit to be present in us, and He has made us His temple, His tabernacle. And as we're on our journey, every moment, we have that potential to recognize the place where we are and the person who is in us. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. We find here the pilgrim having concern for the companions. Concern for brothers and sisters along the way, fellow pilgrims, and for the brethren and companions. I want this to be a place of peace and a place of unity. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. For his honor, for the honor of the place, the house of God, for the honor of the person, the Lord, and here it is all caps, Yahweh, our God, I will seek thy good. He's seeking the good of the brethren, seeking the good of the Lord, seeking the good of the community. Psalm 123, another song of degrees. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens, to you that are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy on us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Along the pilgrim way, we've had our moments of recognition and glory, but we remember we've still got those that scorn, and we got the proud, but the Lord still has a solution. 124, if it had not been that the Lord was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Once again, along our journey, time after time, the Creator, the Sustainer, has brought us through and keeps us moving along that pilgrim pathway. 125, God surrounds His people. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, that place of the present, Mount Zion, shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. I'm going to skip the rest of that one. 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him. Along the way of our pilgrimage, there are times of weeping. There are times when we're down. But there are times of weeping just over the state of family and friends of the world and so forth. But we have the promise along our journey that if we sow in tears, we will reap, we will bear fruit. Here we have the reminder that in the Lord we have freedom. He has turned again their captivity. He has set them free. They've been free, they've been set free, but they've let themselves get back into bondage at some point when this psalm was written. But they find freedom in the Lord, and they find fulfillment, and their tongue is singing, and then they find fruitfulness as they're walking close to the Lord. 127. Along the way of the pilgrimage, you've left behind your work, in a sense. Now, for these folks, they did literally. They left behind their farms. They left behind their occupation, their employment. They often left behind family members. The males were required. Now, sometimes they took their family with them. We know that. But sometimes family members are left behind. There would be this temptation, well, I don't think I'll go this time because I've got to be with my family. I've got to be with them. Or I've got to look after my house. Or I've got to look after my business. Well, let's see what the next two psalms say then for us. 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, and they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. 128, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. That brings to mind Psalm 1, and the blessed man who doesn't walk in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't get his counsel from the wicked. Verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. In 129, I'm not going to say a whole lot, but in verse 6, let them be as the grass upon the housetops which withereth afore, it groweth up. This is talking about those who oppose the Lord, those who oppose the pilgrims, and this reminds us of their ultimate fate. They're just like the grass that's here and is gone, and they have nothing. They're reaped and they blow with the reaping. They blow away the chaff. But we see here more opposition. Psalm 130. My soul waiteth for the Lord. Subtitled: drawing closer to the Lord in pilgrimage, we see our own sinfulness more clearly. Verse 1. Out of the depths I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, plenteous salvation. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And so the psalmist is drawing near to Jerusalem, this pilgrim psalmist, and he's thinking, I'm going to be there before long, but I'll be entering into the holy presence of God. And he's reminded of his shortcomings. And Lord, if you counted our sins, none of us could stand. But thank God, you're merciful, you're full of loving kindness, you're plenteous in mercy and redemption, and you'll redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And that was true in the immediate past when they come before him in repentance. There's a future deliverance for them, and it's certainly true for the church. And we experience that, and we experience his forgiveness over and over, and then we have that future where we never, ever sin again, never in his presence, and never let him down again. 131. Along the way, questions might arise. Verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Here we see contentment. The big questions, they're okay. There are times when they're it's okay to have the questions, but ultimately we move past that, and just like a weaned child, Lord, I'm content in you. And what I can't figure out, I'm putting in your hands, and I know that you're working everything to the good of those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. In 132, we see a longing for place and person, and we see a remembrance of how David had been so afflicted and how he had so greatly desired that a habitation be built there at Mount Zion for the Lord, and how, though David himself wasn't allowed to build it, his desire was honored, and he did have the privilege of helping with some preparations. Verse 16, I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Different times in these psalms, we've had the thoughts of rejoicing and gladness. I wish I'd had more time to talk about gladness. It occurs more than once in these psalms and other psalms as well. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. They're arriving, and brethren have come in from all over Israel and outside of Israel as they come from other lands where they are, and they've come together to worship. We come together from our different places and occupations, get together, and what a blessing it is when we dwell together in unity. We see here ecumenicism in a positive and good way. They come in and they have a common heritage and a common purpose. And there is now we have a priesthood of all believers. Here's the mention of Aaron as high priest and the anointing oil. That anointing oil was poured only on Aaron and later on the subsequent high priest. It was sprinkled on the other priests, but only the high priest it was poured on. That anointing oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us on pilgrimage now in the church age have the indwelling Holy Spirit we have that anointing from above, as King James says, that unction over in the Epistle of John. We have the Holy Spirit, which produces the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, and so forth, and these things that bring about unity and bring about fruitfulness, and how blessed it is. 134, the pilgrims have arrived. They're there to worship. They're there to honor the Lord, the Creator, the one who made heaven and earth. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. On our pathway to the presence, in its daily aspects, in its corporate aspects, when we meet together, let us look to be the kind of pilgrims that the Lord would have us to be as we wait for that day when we reach the end of our pilgrimage and are in His very presence. Father, we thank You for these psalms. We thank You for the encouragement they give us, for the comfort, for the edification. We thank You for the exhortations there and warnings. And we just pray that each one of us would allow these to work in our lives, and that we might bring more honor to You, and that we might bring about greater works among Your people and for Your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.